Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to having you join us today in the dialogue and discussion. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. We do so based on what the Word of God says, not based on ideological philosophy or dogma, not based on some denominational rites, rituals, rules, or regulations, but what does the Word of God say? You see, Jesus reminded his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not just a place where you can go and occasionally find truth. It is not a place where you can go and have to parse out partial truth. The Word of God is truth, the totality of truth. And Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the Word of God. So I pray that you will turn to the Scripture to seek answers for the issues that we're faced with in life. We have issues every day. Some call them problems and difficulties. I prefer just to call them issues that God's called upon us to face, confront, and deal with based on the authority of Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about an issue today. Simply, is there a God? Does God really exist? Seeing God, if you will. Multitudes of times, there are those that will challenge the existence of God, deny the existence of God, or in some fashion try to challenge those that believe in the existence of God. And I find it right onerous that we have in society today those that want to deny the existence of God. You would think that with all that we have as far as evidence of God and the proof of God and the Word of God, you would think that there would be a kind of an ignorance on the part of anyone that would deny the existence of God. I was just confronted with the issue that I find fascinating and sad when a political leader has just shown himself to be a fool. Why do I say that? Because the Scripture says, "The fool that hath said in his heart, there is no God," in Psalms 14:1. Here's an article that I'm speaking of. The president of the Philippines vows to resign if anyone can prove that God exists. The article reads, "The Philippine president, who recently sparked outrage for calling God stupid," the president of the Philippines, has kind of a thorny relationship to the church, the article says. He says, "Where is God? Where is the logic of God?" He asked the question in a speech at the opening of a science and technology event. The 73-year-old leader said, "If there's one single witness who can prove, perhaps with a picture or a selfie, that a human was able to talk with God or to see God, I will immediately resign," he said. His name is Duterte, the president of the Philippines. He suggested that there must be a God or a supreme being, in his opinion, that prevents billions of stars and celestial bodies from colliding in a frequency that could have long threatened the human race, end quote. But last week he slammed God and some of his political leaders, along with him and the church in particular, said that God is stupid. And he goes on beyond calling him stupid. He calls God a stupid blankety blankety blank, and I won't say on the air what he called God. And I find it sad and frightening that a person in that position, the president of the Philippines, 73-year-old fool, because God said that. God said the fool had said in his heart, there's no God. This man is denying the existence of God. And with the stupidity, goes on to say, I want somebody that will show me a picture of God or a selfie of God or in some evidence that he's even talked with God. Ladies and gentlemen, this man just doesn't believe that God exists. Frankly, I would be frightened to death to be this man. We should be thankful for God's mercy and for God's patience and for God's grace in dealing with fools. It is sad to say that he is not by himself. The atheist says there's no God. The agnostic says we can't prove God. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. Now, as you study the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, you'll not find any place in scripture where God ever attempts to prove his existence. Someone said on one occasion, prove God. Well, God didn't call me to prove him, but to preach him. It's your responsibility and mine as Christians to simply preach God, to present people to God through Jesus Christ, not to try to prove him. There's not one single place in the scripture where God ever tries to prove his existence. There is a sense somehow in society today that you must prove God. In fact, scientists, those that are deeply involved in scientific experimentation or science as a living, they have that philosophy that you must prove God in a test tube. I'll never forget a number of years ago in a revival meeting that I was preaching down the coast here at the Space Coast down South Florida. Had the opportunity to sit in the living room with a gentleman that was a scientist at NASA. During the course of the conversation, he says, if you can't prove God, if I can't prove God in a test tube, then I simply do not believe that God exists. The pastor that was with me, and I was in his church for the revival meeting, I just simply looked to him and I said, I believe it's time for us to go. I said, because this man's already expressed he doesn't believe God exists. If God doesn't exist, then we're wasting our time here. So I stood and the pastor stood and the gentleman that was the homeowner stood. And I said, before we leave, if you don't mind, let's just take a moment and pray. And we joined our hands and formed a circle and prayed in the man's living room. During the course of that prayer, I said, God, thank you for this opportunity to be in this man's home today. Thank you for the privilege of coming. But God, this man says he doesn't believe you exist, and therefore we're leaving because we're wasting our time. But I said, God, it's my prayer that even tomorrow, somehow, some way, somewhere in his work, whatever it takes, calamity or otherwise, that you would reveal yourself to him that he might know that you're God. Thank you for hearing our prayer. Amen. And I released his hand, and he was staring me in the eyes, and he said, I'd never come into anybody's house and pray that kind of prayer. So what do you mean? He said, you just simply prayed and asked God to do anything to me necessary to get my attention that I might know that he exists. I said, yes, sir. But since you said you don't believe God existed, that prayer shouldn't bother you. He said, sit down and let's talk. Ladies and gentlemen, I had the opportunity to spend about 45 additional minutes with that man, walk through the scripture with him, gave him the opportunity to surrender his heart to Jesus Christ. He did. Big old tears rolling down his cheeks, and his 12-year-old son came running in the room. Daddy, Daddy, you're right. And he hugged his son, and he said, everything is all right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's a farce. It's a fanciful fence around the heart of an individual that wants to say that he doesn't believe God exists. But this individual, this political leader that has proven himself to be a fool based on the authority of Psalms 14:1 in the scripture, the president of the Philippines has made that declaration. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. But in the beginning, God, the scripture says in Genesis 1:1, God is first of all declared. He declares himself. He declares his existence in the scripture. Just the declaration of God's existence is all that's needed. You can receive it or accept it or reject it, but God exists. Not only is God declared, but God is seen. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and following, we find these words. For the wrath of God, that's the thumos, the anger of God, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, against unrighteousness of men that who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest, revealed, made known in them, for God had shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, also they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad commentary, but God is seen. God is seen in the planet in which we live. God is seen in the human brain that he's created, in the mechanism that is called the human eye. God is seen in the DNA that makes a human being who we are. God is seen in all of his creation. In fact, in all of his creation, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following, there is a rejection of God. In fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 23, simply there is the recognition of God's existence, but they have suppressed the truth about God. That's literally what the text is saying. They refused and repressed the truth of God's existence. Ladies and gentlemen, for the person that denies God's existence because he has not personally seen God, is counted by God's word as being naught and for nothing. He says he's not personally seen God, the president of the Philippines, but yet the scripture says that we can just look out and see what some would call nature. We can see God's creation. God is seen. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, about verses 7, 8, 9, and 10, beginning with about verse 5, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you see the wind? You see it blowing, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look out and you see the leaves rustling on a tree, you can say, well, that's the wind. You accept that it is wind by faith. You can't see it, but you know it's there. You know it's real because you see the effects of it. You see the results of it. And that's the same with knowing God and believing God. We're talking about the question, ladies and gentlemen, is there a God? Does God exist? Seeing God. You can call us today at 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Perhaps you've got a question about God. Perhaps you deny or reject God's reality, the existence of God. Perhaps you'd like to join in the dialogue and the discussion, or you'd like to challenge the position of the Scripture and who God is. But ladies and gentlemen, for the person that denies God's existence because he has not personally seen God is confronted by the Word of God. God's Word declares his existence in his creation. His creation is displayed in the world in which we live in today. Every human being can see our world and God's creation and know that God exists. Here's an article that's an elongated article. I'll just touch on it for your edification. Title of the article is, Does God Exist? And then says, we're going to give six straightforward reasons to believe that God is really there. Once, wouldn't you love for someone to simply show you the evidence of God's existence? The article begins. And it goes into great detail about the complexity of our globe, the complexity of the human eye, the complexity of the human body, the complexity of the blood circulation system, et cetera, et cetera. It goes into major, if you will, scientific detail of the evidence of God's existence simply from the human body and from God's creation. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says in Psalms 8:17, those that seek me early shall find me. When we see the complexity of our planet, we know that there is a designer, and his name is God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, is there truly a God? Does God really exist? How do we know that God exists? And when we talk about the creation of God and the planet that God's created and all that's therein, I find it absolutely fascinating, thrilling, and a joy in study, in the realization that it points directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning, God, and the scripture continues in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But ladies and gentlemen, the creator that created the heavens and the earth and all that's therein is God through Jesus Christ, God's Son, the virgin-born Son of God. The scripture says in Colossians, the first chapter, beginning with about verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, speaking of Jesus here, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image, referring back to God, who is the image, the personification, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, speaking of Jesus. Verse 17, and he, Jesus, is before, that's the little Greek word pros, in front of all things, and by him all things consist. Ladies and gentlemen, God through Jesus Christ is creator. God through Jesus Christ is controller. God through the Lord Jesus Christ is sustainer. Because the scripture says, and by him all things consist. That literally means that Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, is the super glue that holds this whole planet together. Have you ever wondered why when the globe spins as it is on its axis, that we do not freeze or that we do not scorch? If the axis, if the globe on the axis of the earth's, of the planet as it's turning, if it were to move just one fraction, just one fraction, we would either melt because of the heat or we would freeze because of the cold. But God is the sustainer and the controller, and by him all things consist. That is, it is held together. He is the divine superglue. Hey, by the way, Jesus Christ is the first superglue. He is the divine superglue. Many people today will challenge the existence of God simply because they do not want to acknowledge him, because they do not want him to be in control of their lives. But ladies and gentlemen, God reveals himself in his creation, in his control of the universe, but he also reveals himself in and through Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God. John 1:18 is a very, very important verse in relationship to that. I want to read that to us for just a moment, so that you can understand what we're speaking of. In John 1:18, the scripture says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten, that is the uniquely born one, speaking of the virgin birth, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And the word declared is, we get our word exegete. He's exegeted him. He's revealed him. He's made him manifest. He's made him known and seen, speaking of God. No man hath seen God at any time, the scripture says. The only uniquely born Son of God is in the bosom of the Father, and he, speaking of Jesus Christ, had declared, exegeted, revealed, manifest, shown him. So for the person that says, I've not seen God, prove God. If you're saved today, ladies and gentlemen, you can say, I've seen God. I've seen his Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. I met him personally face to face when I said yes to him and my soul's salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus came to reveal God to man. Jesus is expressly called God in John 1:1. He is expressly called God in John 1:1. World religions have given us Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius, but none of these claim to be God. Yet the Bible is replete with the declaration that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. Why does Jesus come? I'm glancing at my book, Could Jesus Sin? A 224-page book on the study of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm looking at page 109, and I list in the book six reasons for the incarnation of Christ. Six reasons that Jesus Christ came into the world. First of all, it's to reveal God to men, John 1:18. Secondly, Jesus came to provide an example for our living, 1 Peter 2:21. Thirdly, Jesus came to provide a sacrifice for our sins, Hebrews 10:1 through 10. Fourth, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. Fifth, Jesus came to enable him to be the merciful and faithful high priest interceding for us, Hebrews 5:1 and 2. Sixth, he came to fulfill the provision of a son to sit on the throne of David forever and forever and forever, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial reign and beyond, according to Luke's gospel, the first chapter, verse 31 and following. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today, the question that's been asked, is there a God? Does God exist? Or seeing God? And this subject was brought about as a result of Duterte, the president of the Philippines, publicly denouncing God and saying that he doesn't believe God exists and calling God a stupid, foul word is what he called God. And I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we can see God and we can know God. We can have an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the only way, if you're listening today, the only way that you can know God is to know Jesus Christ. It's an impossibility otherwise. Ladies and gentlemen, with all that religion has brought us, through Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and others, none of those religions, though they're all aberrant, fake, false, phony religions, none of them have come forth and said, I'm God. Christianity is the only one. And Christianity through Jesus Christ, because Jesus says, I am God, expressly called God, expressly seen as God. As you study the scripture, God is the only one that deserves worship, but Jesus accepted worship. Jesus Christ attributes, every attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ in the scripture are the same attributes of God the Father. Every attributes found about Jesus Christ in the Bible are also the same attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God, because Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, in John chapter 14, in John chapter 14 and verse 9, the scripture says, he that hath seen me, Jesus speaking, hath seen God. You see, the problem with the president of the Philippines, he's lost, unsaved. He's as lost as a green ball in high weeds. Now ponder that for a moment. A green ball in high weeds. He's lost. Because if he's seen Jesus Christ, he's seen God. Jesus said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. And he restates that in John 5:18, I and my Father are one. One and the same. The only way that's possible, ladies and gentlemen, is through the incarnation. The incarnation simply meaning Christ, God becoming man, God becoming flesh, and dwelling upon among us. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and following, is a good text in relationship to that. The scripture says in verse 5 in Philippians chapter 2, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery or something to be grappled and grasped for, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant, taking upon, to take upon is an addition, not a diminishing, not a dilution, but an addition, and took upon himself the form, the morphe, the outward look of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in the things in heaven, and the things in earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to say to you today is, don't you dare let someone tell you, prove God, show me a picture of God, and I'll believe it, or give you that mantra that if I can't prove him in a test tube, I don't believe God exists. God stepped on the scene in history past, and the scripture reveals in the beginning God, without any attempt to try to prove God's existence. Some may challenge the existence of God, yet we have more proof today, ladies and gentlemen, of God's existence in the form of Jesus Christ than the proof of the existence of George Washington. Did you hear me? We have more proof today, ladies and gentlemen, of the existence of God through Jesus Christ than we have proof of the existence of George Washington. Yet you have heard many times those challenging or chiding Christians and denying the existence of God, those that are denying that God exists. Ladies and gentlemen, God is spirit, and no man has seen God, according to the scripture. But Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason the virgin birth is attacked and undermined and demeaned and challenged by the left-wing liberals, theologically speaking, is if you can destroy the virgin birth, you destroy the reality of Jesus Christ coming, destroying the reality that Jesus Christ is God, then you destroy any evidence of God, if you will. Jesus Christ is God that's come into flesh, and he came into flesh that we might know him and have a relationship with him. The Apostle Paul challenged and treasured his finding Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. And ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting you to understand today, you can see God and know God through Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Do you know him today? Have you said yes to him today? Have you accepted Christ by faith? You can know God through Jesus Christ. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.